Good evening, everybody. You'll have to bear with me a little bit if my voice gives out a little bit tonight. We might end up cutting class a little short. And I promise it's not because we've got soup and bread over there. So just a caveat here before we get started. I've been fighting this drainage and stuff, and it's been kind of working me over a little bit. So we'll go as long as I can. Tonight will be the conclusion of my obligation for this quarter. So I'm going to talk on a particular subject that's a little bit dear to my heart. And it's a subject that as I grew older, I didn't realize just how much I struggled with it when I was younger. And the subject I'm bringing to you tonight is prayer. And there are several different times to pray, several different instances in which we're instructed to pray. But I got to thinking while I was sitting down how appropriate tonight the activity we're having after we get done is soup and bread. How many of you, and it was a show of hands, can visualize a picture hanging on the wall that you've seen in somebody's home or in a store or somewhere of an elderly gentleman with his head lowered in prayer with a bowl of soup and a loaf of bread next to him? And just happened to strike me just before I came up here. What do you visualize in your own mind when you see that picture? And it doesn't have to be rhetorical. If you want to express yourself, go ahead. Gratefulness, thankfulness. Maybe a touch of humility. Does it give you a sense of a feeling of loneliness? Or does it give you a sense or a feeling of that intimate time where he's engaging our Father in the avenue of prayer? I've never been one to go to an art gallery. And as you see in the movies and stuff, that they're standing in front of this humongous picture and they're looking at it. And you can see some sense of calculation going on in their mind, or perhaps a scholarly pose in which they're in, you know, this arena of scholarly thought. And I look at it and I'm going, is it upside down? Did he make a mistake? I mean, I just never had that process about me. But yet when I see this picture of the gentleman at the table with his head bowed, a loaf of bread and a bowl of soup, there's a sense of humility. There's a sense of personal intimacy that I assume that he's having as he's engaging God in prayer. So prayer is a particular issue that has a soft spot in my heart. I wasn't raised in the church. It wasn't until I was in my later teens, perhaps early adulthood, that I was introduced to the church. And that young lady who introduced me wasn't Cindy, but because of her introduction, I found Cindy in a faith that I had accepted, in which now we have had a extremely long time together in enjoying each other. But one of the things that I was not really introduced to was the importance of prayer. And prayer is probably one of several things that we, as early Christians, should be introduced to and should be taught and should be expressed. The importance of prayer and the importance that it is in our ability to communicate with our Father in heaven. As we grow spiritually, as we come off of the milk, And we start to get ourselves into the meat of knowing who our God is. The avenue of prayer becomes more and more important. It's a relationship. And I've used this example where when I met Cindy, although I wanted to just go up and ask her, you know, to marry me because I knew that's who I wanted to spend my life with, I knew she probably wouldn't really go for it. And as I've stated before, back then, people called it courtship. Now they probably call it stalking. So, she turned me down 7 times, but I'm not a quitter. But that relationship I developed with her, that one-on-one, that getting to know her, that getting to trust her, and vice versa, her getting to know me and to trust me to the point to where she finally, because she knew I wasn't going to go away, said she'd marry me. And from that point, our journey began. Christianity is the same way. As we get to know our God by reading the scripture, taking in the history of God through the Old Testament, and understanding the transition from the Old Testament into the New Testament, and then getting to know who our Lord Jesus Christ is, and getting to know our genealogy. As we begin to read in Acts, we get to understand where our Christianity was established, how it was established. Those brave men who went out to preach and to teach and whose lives were in jeopardy continuously. By having that bond, by understanding and having that foundation, and they're building on it through time, through study, and through in-depth and increasing our knowledge, we become closer to our God. We become closer and more intimate with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And the only way we can continue to have an ongoing relationship is through the avenue of prayer. The more we know Him, the more He resides in our heart, the easier it is to pray. The easier it is to go before Him and boldly petition Him for requests on our behalf, or on the behalf of our family, or on the behalf of our brothers and sisters in Christ. Prayer is essential to our Christianity. And so prayer is something that we should not relegate to just a momentary point in time, which where we have found the necessity to pray because we are in trouble, because we are struggling emotionally, physically, or spiritually. Prayer should not be relegated to a 30-second bowing of your head. Father, please help me as I prepare for this test. Father, please let me get through this ticket. I've been there for you a couple times. I've said a few of those prayers. Father, for whatever the circumstances is in my life at this moment, get me through it. If that's all our prayer life consists of, we really don't have a full understanding of what prayer means. We really don't have a full understanding of how important prayer is. Now, it's not to say that those type of prayers don't have their place. They do. But they're, like with our wives and our husbands, there are times when we are face to face and we are talking to each other and we are discussing things of extreme importance, or we're sharing with each other just our appreciation and the love we have for one another, and a thankfulness for the support that they've given us to the times that we have been weak, or that I have been weak, and she has been there to support me, or vice versa. That intimate personal relationship that we have with each other is the same kind of personal intimate relationship we need to have with our God. And the only way we can express that is through prayer. And the only way we can stand firm in our faith and be confident when we stand before Him in prayer and ask of Him is through that intimate relationship we have. And that only comes by knowing the Scripture. That only comes by understanding over time and time again who our God is and who our Jesus, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is. So prayer is important. Prayer should be a part of our Christianity that we teach our children, we teach our new converts from day one, in addition to all the other scriptures that we ask them to read. Don't forget prayer, because that is an essential part of our spiritual upbringing. That is an essential part of our practices when we come to worship. That is something that we have to grow and nurture as well. I struggled with prayer. I struggled with prayer for many reasons. One of them, being a new convert, I didn't understand the importance. Secondly, being an individual of my age, and I'm sure we've all experienced that as we've grown up as young adults, I didn't know how to rely on Jesus and God in my Christian life. I was still that young. So I figured it was me, myself, and I to do things, to accomplish things. And I didn't understand how important it was to thank Christ for blessing me. So because of that disconnect, I didn't understand how important it was to go to them in prayer, to go to God in prayer and say, thank you for blessing me. You've given me my health. You've given me my strength. And because of that, help me to do God's work. Help me to be successful to provide for my family. Those kind of requests are okay. But I hadn't been taught that. And so it took me a while to get there. Understanding how to use prayer in our spiritual lives can be difficult. But yet, it is right there before us for the taking. God says, petition me. Take time to commune with me. When we partake of this Lord's Supper, we do it in an avenue of prayer that is such that we are taking that moment to clear all of the societal things, both in our brain and in our soul, so that we can come closer to God on that Lord's Day, so that we can commune with Him on one-on-one. And that's a communal prayer that we do together as brothers and sisters in Christ. There should also be that time when we find ourselves in a room without any obstructions, without any interference. At that time where we can completely wipe the world of our mind and our spirit and kneel before our God and just talk to Him. The more we know of His love and compassion, the easier it is. That is the only way. At the end of our salvation, when that is asked of us, we stand before God, that He looks at us and says, faithful servant, welcome to my home. If we are communing with Him in prayer, if we have an active prayer life, we can be confident that we will have our place in heaven. It's more than just being here. It's more than just reading our Bible. It's developing that relationship. It's developing that intimate bond with our Father in heaven. The opportunity to pray, to communicate directly with God, is one of the greatest blessings the Christians enjoy. It is evident that divinity places a great deal of emphasis on prayer and its power. Isn't that what we pray for when we ask the Lord to take care of one of our brothers and sisters or one of our family members to heal them? The power of prayer. It's more than just a bumper sticker saying. If we truly understand the power of prayer, we truly believe it, when we petition our Father to lend us his ear, he's going to listen. He's going to take us seriously. While on earth, Jesus prayed often, both showing and instructing his disciples that they ought to be people who pray daily. Not just on the Lord's Day, not just on Wednesday nights, but every day, multiple times. Even if it's just a point in our lives where we're actually feeling pretty good, and we just take a moment to say, Father, thank you for peace in my soul. How wonderful is that? Yes. Don't let me be afraid. It does. Right. And that's it. That personal relationship we have with God, maybe that's all it is. Is that just reaching up there and just help me not be afraid? There's no scripture that says your prayer needs to be 750 words, two paragraphs, and indented. You know, I mean, there it's, if you've got a personal relationship, I mean, I know with Cindy and I, there are times I don't even have to say anything, and she kind of knows what's going on. And that's the same way with the relationship of what we have with our God and through Christ. If we understand the scriptures and we're developing that knowledge all the time, that moment that we just bow our head, there are times in our lives where we're going to bow our head and we have stuff going on that we are struggling with. The confidence we have in that prayer, if we don't know how to express ourselves, we've got the Holy Spirit on our side here on earth that indwells in us and that will speak on our behalf. He will groan for us. When Chelsea got sick, there was a moment in our prayer, my prayer life, where I was on my knees and I said, I'm at a point where I don't know what else to ask of you. I've wrestled with you. I've struggled. I've petitioned you with all that I have. And at this point, I just don't know what else to ask. But I know at this moment in time I have to be here. And I am confident that the Holy Spirit presented my petition to our Father in heaven. That's his purpose. So there are going to be times where we struggle with prayer. Our hearts are heavy. We're burdened. We're laden. And you know it's the right thing to do, but you just don't know what to say. That's okay too. Because we have backup. The Holy Spirit is there to help us. Prayer is important. Prayer is a necessity. Prayer is one of the main cogs in our Christianity. Prayer in worship. Even though the individual Christian is to pray without ceasing, get to this. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, the saints are also to pray when they assemble for worship. The praying without ceasing is that in the back of our mind, and now this is my interpretation, and I'm sure there may be somebody out here that might be able to express themselves better than me, but that thought of prayer is always in the back of my head. Somewhere, somehow, I am always engaged with my Father in heaven. If it's just like a moment that Jim said where he says, I just need you to see me through this. Help me not be afraid. Or there's that moment where you're driving and you just pull over and you bow your head and you just say a momentary prayer. If we are living our lives spiritually as Christians are directed in this book, at any time that we bow our heads and we petition him, he's there. He's there to help us. He's there to listen. The Apostle Paul instructed the church at Corinth how to properly pray in their assemblies. 1 Corinthians 14:14-15. The apostles in the early church, when together, they prayed. That was a part of their instruction. That was a part of their way of life. Acts 2:42. The part of prayer as worship. But what makes prayer worship? Since worship is an expression of love for and a devotion to God. Prayer which recognizes him, which appeals to his love, his mercy, his grace, and power, and which shows a reliance on him and the need to communicate with him. That in itself is a form of worship, especially when we do it together. It exalts God as the object of our praise, the recipient of our love, and the source of all blessings. That's something we can't just go down to the dime store and buy. That's something we can't just acquire by throwing extra money in the offering. That is developed through a communal relationship we have through the avenue of prayer, through continued search for knowledge and the growth of that knowledge to wisdom. In turn, God displays his providential care and love for his children by hearing and by answering those prayers. One of the things we have to understand in our prayer life is that what we ask of God and what we petition him for, one, may not be answered on our time frame. Two, may not be answered the way we would like it to be answered. Or three, might not be answered perhaps in our lifetime. If we take a moment to visualize Christ in the garden. And as he struggled with that which he was about to be subjected to, that cruel cross, as God and as human, he felt and he understood all of that burden which was going to fall upon his shoulders in a short period of time. To the point where he asked God to remove this from him. But understanding where his place was in the line of salvation, he then said, not thy will, or not mine, but thine. So when we pray to our Father, and we pray with human emotions, we pray with human requests, and we pray with human desires. But ultimately, we end that prayer with, let thy will be done, not mine. God knows what's best for us. And through the avenue of prayer and through the knowledge that we have in these scriptures, we understand that. And as we ground ourselves in our faith and we stand firm as we petition him, we know that whatever the outcome, that's what God deems best for us. And we have the faith to understand that. We have the faith to accept that. Prayer is a general term for addressing God. Since it is possible for his children to talk to him, he asked them to call upon him often. Luke 18, verses 1 through 8. It is the privilege and the duty of the righteous, James 5, 16. The model prayer given by Jesus in Matthew 6 shows that prayer was designated for and designed for children of God. Only those who are trying to live righteously have their prayers heard and approved. Prayer's not for everybody. Prayer's not for those of the worldly. Although they may act spiritually, and although they may be living in a world where they go to a church that they claim worships God, if it is not done scripturally, if it is not done within the frameworks and the boundaries of the laws that are set before us in this book, their prayer will not be heard. And likewise, with us in this church, in the brotherhood, if we're not living spiritually as God instructs us to, if we're living two different lives, one that we see here and then one that we live in the real world, then our prayers could be in jeopardy. So we have to make sure that we're living according to God's law. Prayer is asking, seeking, and knocking with the assurance that the Father is ready. Ready and willing and able to respond. Matthew 7:7 through 11. When we stand before God, when we are grounded in the faith, and we have that confidence on our faith, then we can petition him with confidence. And that confidence is not arrogance. That confidence is knowing by faith and understanding who our Father is, that he will answer our prayers. Prayer is an act of faith. Luke 18, 1 through 8. By praying to God, one shows the believer that he believes that he is real, that our God, that he loves his children, and that he hears and answers our prayers because of that love. Prayer is an expression of worship because praise, an integral part of worship, is a major component of prayer. Matthew 6:9. The very fact that we as his children seek him in the avenue of prayer, that his will be done demonstrates our respect and love for God through the avenue of prayer. The more we know about God, the more we understand of his love and compassion, the more confident we are in petitioning him through prayer, the tighter the bond we have with him. As stated above, prayer involves adoration and praise. Prayer includes petitions and pleas for one's needs. 1 John 5:15. There can be such things as supplications. Ephesians 6:18. There are confessions of sin in prayer. There are pleas for forgiveness in prayer. 1 John 1:9. Another essential of prayer is thanksgiving for blessings received from God. If we don't understand who God is, how do we recognize those blessings? If we don't understand who God is and we receive blessings on a false positive, we can stand back and say, well, look what I did. And that's not the way it works. So by understanding and having an intimate relationship with God, when we receive blessings, we understand it came through our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So we have a proper understanding of where those blessings come from. Intercession. Pleas for others is probably one of the most important parts of our prayer life. How many times do we have in our announcements a prayer on behalf of those of our family who are suffering, who are dealing with illnesses, who are dealing with spiritual struggles, who are dealing with things in their lives that we probably can't even comprehend? And it is our heartfelt prayer on their behalf that our God would intercede on their behalf, that our Lord and Savior, sitting on the right hand of God in heaven, would be the mediator for us and our brothers and sisters. And as we petition our Father in heaven, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ receives those petitions, and he stands before God and he presents them to him. And it is our prayer that if it's done according to Scripture, God will receive those as a fragrant offering. Larry? That's right.
And he may have something that in its own way works out. But like you said, it may be down the line, it may be tomorrow, or like you said, we may not ever see it. It may come to pass later.
Later. That's right.
But we have to trust that he answers it in his own way.
That's right. And if, Jim? Is that human part of us, that confusion? and I'm just throwing this out there for discussion, is it due to a lack of maturity in the Scripture? A lack of maturity in the Scripture? Would you say that? Or can any of us at one time or another be a little bit confused of what we're asking for? Yeah. I mean, we're susceptible to human nature. I mean, if that was the case, once we reached 65, wouldn't it be nice to know we could never sin again? It doesn't work that way. So I think in our lives as adults, there's always going to be a time, regardless of whatever age we're, that there may be some confusion. There may be a time where we come to the crossroad and we don't make the wise choice. But knowing we have that avenue of prayer, that will get us to the right side. Yes, Dave. Yeah. And it does. Maybe that helps mature us. It gives us a better perspective. Ms. Jean? Or, yeah. And that happens. I mean, there are times where it just that millstone is so heavy, we don't even know if we can get ourselves up on our knees, let alone stand before Him. And we just pray, this burden is more than I can tolerate. But Scripture always says, also says, He will not present us with any more than He knows we can handle. That doesn't mean that we shouldn't come to Him in prayer and say, okay, I need some help. Get me through this. If we're real grounded on our faith, we'll understand that. James. And I think that's one of the reasons we, when we meet on the Lord's Day, don't just beat to head out the door at the end of the sermon. Take time to engage with your brothers and sisters in Christ. And those are maybe those quiet moments we have, maybe in the early morning. we're up. So to conclude, prayer avails much. And we see that in James 5:16. Because when His children pray in an acceptable manner, God hears and answers. It supplies the church with a powerful asset and a wonderful blessing. May the church never underestimate or forget. And that church means us as individuals as well. The power of prayer. And may those who comprise it always pray and not lose heart. Take advantage of the avenue of prayer. I think what I'll do before we dismiss, I'm going to go ahead and offer